All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Good stuff with Carlos Boozer. Brian McFadden is going to join us coming up in an hour 20 from now. We'll delve back into the Aaron Rodgers stuff in just a moment. But let me hit up some calls here. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We go to Calgary. Jordan is next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Jordan, what's happening?
Hey, love the show.
Appreciate it.
So, I know I might be in the minority on this, but I believe that Trevor Lawrence could still turn out to be a good NFL quarterback. I mean, you look at Sam Darnold. I mean, he's not necessarily a good quarterback, but you take him out of
New York. He had a good season.
Sorry, go ahead.
He had a good season, Sam Darnold. Bad ending, but a good season.
Yeah, you take Sam Darnold out of New York, and all of a sudden you put him in a competent organization, and he looks way better. Same thing I think could happen with Trevor Lawrence. He's playing in Jacksonville. Take him out of that organization, put him on a team like the Steelers. I think you could see the same sort of thing. Now, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is going to be elite. He could be, maybe. I don't know. I think he's got a lot of talent. But I think the problem with trading for Trevor Lawrence is the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have to swallow some of that salary, you would think, right?
Well, that's why it doesn't make any sense to me, is because the dead cap is so astronomical, and then you could do, like, you could move it around depending on when you move on from him. But right now, just on the surface for 2025, it's $133 million. So, like, that's number one why it doesn't make any sense. And number two, you bring in Liam Cohen, a young, innovative mind. I have no clue how he'll be as a head coach, but he's supposed to be the guy that helps moves Trevor Lawrence's career back in the right direction. I'm with you, Jordan. I know Trevor Lawrence has been underwhelming. Trevor Lawrence has also had to deal with now three different full-time head coaches since he got there to Jacksonville. Year one with Urban Meyer, he didn't make it through a full season. Then Doug Peterson got off to a good start. They win the playoff game. It was downhill ever since. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to be a better decision-maker. Like, I get why the Steelers would do this, because the Steelers, what are your other options? Darnold, Rodgers, towards the end of his career, Stafford towards the end of his career. You clearly don't love Fields. You clearly don't love Russell Wilson. So I see why the possibility the Steelers would inquire. But, Jordan, I don't see any reason right now heading into this year, unless if the Jaguars are just trying to tank the season, reset at the quarterback position, go get the number one pick, and maybe go get Arch Manning. I don't see why they would move on from Trevor Lawrence. And look, they were in position to get Trevor Lawrence. He was supposed to be the generational guy, and he ends up being more underwhelming than rather being someone of a satisfactory level. So I don't see why the Jaguars would do it right now. I see why the Steelers would do it, but it takes two to tango, and I don't think the Jaguars are going to tango right now.
If the Steelers would convince the Jaguars of trading for Trevor Lawrence, which I think is a good destination for him, or in the NFC, because the AFC is too crowded with talented quarterbacks. If they agreed to potentially look at it, what do you think it would take for the Steelers to get him?
You got to at least give up a first-round pick. I think a first-round pick and then some. Is it a one and a two possibility if you do get enough of a market out there? Sure, the contract complicates it, but if you get enough of a market out there, I don't think it's that far-fetched where if you could get four or five teams bidding against one another where one organization ends up giving up two first-round picks. I don't think that's crazy whatsoever. Like, Stu, let me ask you this. You're a team that doesn't have a quarterback. You haven't had a quarterback, I guess you could say, since you had Carr, but like in terms of a quarterback that you thought was great since Gannon, right? When Gannon won an MVP?
That's the last one, yeah. Carr was, you know,
he had one great season.
He was good. There was a year I thought he was going to be very good, but other than that, I was pretty sure he was an average quarterback.
Would you give up a first-round pick and a second-round pick for Trevor Lawrence?
I don't know if I'd give up the pick the Raiders have this year.
Six.
That's kind of high. Like, if you're telling me maybe it's a future first, yes, which I don't think the Jaguars would do that. It's just the money thing that concerns me too, because you're paying him and you're trading all the draft capital.
So two things. Let me get to your first comment. So you said where the pick is. Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Shedeur Sanders? Let me just ask you. I know Shador's on a rookie deal.
I'd rather have Shedeur just because of what he, the question of what he can be. Plus, you get him cheap for a few years, 4 or 5 years.
And with the, if you take the money out of it, just the individual ability of the quarterback, would you rather hitch your wagon to, which out of these three names would you rather hitch your wagon to? Forget about the money. Trevor Lawrence, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders.
I think it would be, if it's just talent, I think it'd be Trevor, Shedeur, Cam in that order.
Right? So that's why I'm not going crazy giving up the 6th overall pick, but then we haven't seen Trevor be great long enough in this league or even good long enough in this league, and you could give up the 6th overall pick and then also you have to pay him. But here, I don't know if the Raiders are getting a quarterback at 6. If it's Shedeur or if it's Cam Ward, if one of those guys are there, all right, I could be talked into using that pick at 6 for a quarterback and then the rookie deal, but I wouldn't feel like it's likely. So I would even give up 6. If you're giving up 6, you probably don't have to give up an additional one. You know, could it, like a team like Pittsburgh, just one isn't going to do it. So is it a 1 and 2? Is it 2 ones? You have to wait and see. But I'd be interested in giving up that 6 overall pick if I'm the Raiders. But also, I just think that this is a crazy conversation. Because, like, do you think the Jaguars, they may have their doubts about Trevor Lawrence wild after a year giving him that contract. I understand why you may doubt him. But you just brought in an innovative young mind at the offense, you know, at the head coaching position. Why not at least give him a year and see what he could do with Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, you would think the hiring of Liam Cohen goes hand in hand, right? Like, he's going to try to revitalize Trevor Lawrence for what he was 2 or 3 years ago. And if he can't, he probably won't have a job, and Trevor Lawrence will probably not be in Jacksonville anymore.
Well, this is the last head coach that Trevor Lawrence will get in Jacksonville. Because Urban Meyer was a disaster. That's not blamed on Trevor Lawrence. Doug Peterson's a Super Bowl winning coach. Year one worked well. I don't think they had the right coaching staff there. That's also a flaw of Doug. He's really loyal to his coaching staff, and that ultimately cost him his job in Philly, even after winning a Super Bowl and going to the playoffs 2 other years since that, where they made it to a divisional round where they lost to the Saints. And then the following year, that's when Wentz got knocked out up against the Seahawks. But now, you already went from the old offensive mind. Now you get the young offensive mind. You've now had 3 head coaches. If it doesn't work after this one, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be a Jaguar that much longer. Let's go to Mike in Abilene, Texas. Mikey, what's happening? Did you get my gift, by the way?
Man, thank you so much for that. That meant a lot to me. It really, really did. I know you said it. You took my address, and wasn't that I didn't believe you.
You thought I was going to big time you. That's what you thought. You thought I was going to be one of these other big time radio jackasses.
Well, and I didn't. I had more faith in you than the others, but yeah, man. I have that thing sitting on my coffee table, and I have your handwritten note framed in my office, and it really does mean a lot to me, man.
But we always appreciate your passion. We always appreciate your phone calls, even though sometimes it could go a little over the top. Over the top with some of the criticism that you give, but we always love when we can make connections. And you know, I saw that there was a program at the national championship game, and down deep, even though I picked Notre Dame just in spite of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I made my one spite pick of the year, I go, this would be nice for Mike in Abilene, Texas, to get a nice little program from the national championship game.
Man, I literally thumb through it every day when I get off of work. And hey, man, props to Stu, too. That's not easy to take a phone call from a fanatic who he happens to be playing in a national championship. He handled that with grace. If I was the dispatch guy, I probably would have hung up accidentally on the guy I'm playing in the national championship. But yeah, no, you guys are the best, man. And this is just one of the reasons why. To speak, you know, directly to the Buckeyes, I think if we win against Texas in week 1, then, I mean, I looked at our schedule, and this is one of my gripes. You know, you just mentioned it. I'm very critical.
Yes.
We've got, I mean, I get it.
You didn't even enjoy the national championship yet. You're already talking about if they lose week 1 or if they win week 1. You know, can you enjoy the national championship first?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I'm still mad about Michigan, but, you know, that's me. But, no, you know, it's the Arch Manning. It's going to be the debut. I'm looking forward to it. I think we can win. Julian Sands, you know, he's 5-star for a reason. So, and we got that one kid that plays wide receiver coming back. I don't think anybody in the world can stop him. So all signs point to potentially an undefeated season and back in the playoffs. Happy about that.
You have 3 monster games this year. You really do. Texas is a monster game to open up the season. Right, the national champs, then going up against Texas, who could be the best team in college football, and they have the most hyped player in Arch Manning. Penn State's supposed to be good, and you play them this year, and then you also get Michigan, clearly, in the game. So those are the 3 best games on the schedule. Mike, I got to let you run real quickly because I got to get to something else, but always appreciate the phone call. And by the way, did you see my special gift inside of the gift in the book? Did you?
You, sir, are very clever.
Page 32. I left you a little note on page 32. just take a look on page 32.
The handwritten note had some little dingers in there for me, and then the page 32 might be my favorite page.
Go look at page 32. We appreciate it. That's like when Jamarcus Russell got his playbook, and it was on a CD, and it was blank. I didn't put anything on page 32, and Mike knows that with the way that he's laughing. But I was thinking about when I sent him this program. I didn't want to ruin the program. That it's a really nice program, like if you're a fan of Ohio State, and it's something if you're a sports fan you would like. I was thinking of just putting it on like page 32 or something, you know, just a photo or scribbling, "You still lost to Michigan," or something along those lines. But I'm like, hey, he's a national champion once again. So I
should have put a sticky note in there.
Yeah, you're right. And I didn't want to be a jackass. I was being a nice guy. You know, I know Mike will always love me, but I didn't want Mike to get him upset. Because when he gets upset about his Buckeyes, it's awesome for us on the air. But it is not always, I think, pretty for him, you know, and people that are probably around him. Anyway, I always appreciate Mike in Abilene, Texas. All righty, Stu, let's quickly do this. We'll do three teams each for Aaron Rodgers' next destination. I'll start it off. I will go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Steelers could use him for 1 year. I think he can win a playoff game there. And if not Pittsburgh, I don't think there's that many other great destinations.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. This isn't a great list, right? Like, I'm trying to convince myself that
slim pickings.
Anyone else should or will get Rodgers. I'll go with the Rams just off the fact that, okay, maybe they do move on from Matthew Stafford. Then I don't know what their plan is at quarterback. So,
you know what I think their plan would be?
What's that?
McVay's a weird dude, man. I could see him going Darnold.
Yeah.
Now, disclaimer, I would not get rid of Matthew Stafford and give Sam Darnold a 3 or 4 year deal. And maybe McVay could get excited coaching a top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time in Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers now in his 40s is not really something, if I'm the Rams, I'm jumping up for joy and because I could get him. Because, yes, for the career, Rodgers had a better career than Matthew Stafford. But right now, Matthew Stafford's a better quarterback. The whole Rams thing, I just don't get it, Stu.
Yeah.
They were in the divisional round this year. I know he's getting up there in age, and right, I don't think he's going to be playing for another 3-4 years, but neither is Rodgers. Rodgers probably only going to play one more year. But they almost won that. They almost stole that divisional round game. And if they would have won that, I do think they beat the Commanders in the NFC Championship game, and then they're back in another Super Bowl. I know it's a lot of, oh, if this happened and that happened and this happened, but that Rams team, with what they've done this year after a slow start and then what they're able to do at the end of the season, why wouldn't you run it back? It's not as if there is a name in the draft, you know, unless if they find a way to pull off a move and trade up. But if you're looking at the guys that are just available, it's not as if there's this great long-term option out there unless if they're taking the bait with Sam Darnold. Well, that's the case, be my guess. I would rather have Stafford, even if it's only for another 2 years or even if it's only for another year, than really any of these other names that are realistically available still.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
I think this is contractual. I do.
Yeah.
I think this is just negotiations on how much they're going to have to end up paying him in the restructuring of the deal. All righty, so you take the Rams. Who's your next team? I'll let you go back to back.
Next one is, and I do not endorse this, but I think it is a possibility, and I think that is the Raiders. We talk about them being at 6, not really having a clear path at a quarterback in the draft. Even if they trade back into the first round.
Devontae Adams come with them? Who says he can't go home?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
McDaniels isn't there.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. I just think that they'll want to get a quarterback, whether it's Darnold or Cousins or Russ or Rodgers. So if they strike out on some of those guys, I think Rodgers could be in play.
This would be very Raidery, though.
Yeah.
Because I never understood for the life of me why they didn't go make a move for Rodgers years ago. Like when he wanted to go to the Jets, they already had Davante Adams in that building. Adams and Rodgers are very close. If they would have got Rodgers two, three years ago, that would have made sense to me. And I remember Rodgers went on McAfee and he's like, yeah, they really never even had any interest in Raiders. So that was always weird to me. And if you got him 2 years later, it's like, what are we doing here? It just, that would be a typical Raiders move. All righty, my next pick. I'm going to go, I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns because you can't go with Deshaun Watson next year. Maybe the Steelers don't end up getting Rodgers. He still goes to that AFC North. You look at the Cleveland Browns. They have a solid roster. Their roster isn't horrible. And they're probably going to end up trading Myles Garrett. You know, could they convince him to stay? I probably doubt it. But Cleveland needs a quarterback. And if I'm Rodgers, then my choices are Cleveland or Tennessee. I get it. He has a home in Tennessee. But I think Cleveland is a better team right now than the Tennessee Titans. And then finally, you want to hear my last destination?
Sure.
Retirement.
That's a good one.
The retirement home.
Yeah, that's good.
I it's so tough to give you another team. I could spitball and say, oh, if Seahawks get rid of Geno Smith, or maybe he does the Brett Favre and they tell McCarthy to wait another year. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I don't think that's going to happen. You know, you want him to stay in New York with the Giants. I'm not a believer in that, and I'm not going with the Tennessee Titans. I think they're going to, like, they're either going to take a quarterback or a playmaker in this draft. If they don't take a quarterback, they'll take Abdul Carter, or they'll take Travis Hunter. You know, could they trade back and get a King's ransom? Sure. But if they're not taking a quarterback this year, you know, they're going to need someone to play the position. So maybe you could go out there and get Rodgers, but I think then they'd make their move next year for the quarterback. So I don't know why. I just can't see Aaron Rodgers with the Tennessee Titans right now. That's just me.
Well, the Titans is the team that I'm going to pick here. I just, again, I don't feel great about it, but I just feel that maybe they could take a playmaker with the first pick, and then that opens up the door for them to bring in Rodgers. But
imagine, I mean, if we did five picks here.
I know.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's do five. So you would get another pick. I just want to see how this turns out, because right now I have the Steelers, Browns, and retirement home. You have the Rams, Raiders, and Titans. Blah.
Yeah.
That's ugly. So give me another one. Go ahead.
Next one I'll go Colts.
The Colts. Oh, my God.
Maybe they don't believe in Anthony Richardson and they want someone who can.
Did you hear that scream?
No.
That's Hickey, who just dropped dead in the newsroom.
Like 10 feet behind me. He's not happy about that. But
he's going to come in there and probably stab you.
He might. I don't know. I just feel like Richardson is questionable at best, and maybe they could bring him in for a year and see what happens. But
alrighty. I'll go with the Seahawks. Just in terms of them moving on from Geno Smith, I do not like that. And my final pick, maybe he just wants to stay in the Big Apple. I'll go with the Giants. You owe me one more. So we got Steelers, Browns, retirement home, Seahawks, Giants for me. You have Rams, Raiders, Titans, and Colts. Who's your final one?
Two on my board I have left are the 49ers and the Vikings. Now, I think the Niners are going to pay Brock Purdy. So I don't really see that as an option. The Vikings, they're going to go with McCarthy, but maybe there's just something where they don't like what they see with the health. But
the Vikings would actually be fun.
It would be fun, but
because you're in a dome for half your games. You got Jefferson, you got Addison, you got Hockenson, and you got the offensive mind of O'Connell. I would not be opposed to Minnesota, and you could tell JJ kind of what the Niners were thinking about doing with Brady, even though Brady was a lot better later on in his career than Rodgers. Where you would have said to Brock Purdy, hey, if we could get Brady, and Brady just didn't want to do it, hey, it's one of the, you know, it's the GOAT coming in. For Rodgers, you could say, hey, it's one of the GOATs coming in, and it makes it a little bit easier to understand for a J.J. McCarthy when it's not as if, oh, they're bringing back Sam Darnold and telling you to sit. This would be bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
And it's fun because it follows the Brett Favre path. Yeah. So
expect Rodgers to be in a bunch of Wrangler Jean commercials, pretty much. Yeah, is what you're telling me. All righty, this is Zach Gelb on the Infinity Sports Network. John Rocker and Patrick Mahomes Sr. are going to fight. They're almost already fight in New Orleans, but now they're actually going to fight. Do a little rough and rowdy with Barstool. And also, after some of these terrible trades that we've seen recently, Rodgers to the Jets, Russ to the Broncos, Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns, what's the worst trade ever in the history of sports? What's the worst trade ever in the history of sports? And what is a fight between two athletes that you would like to see in a boxing ring? We'll get all to all that next. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So we all saw that video on Bourbon Street where it was basically the ultimate hold me back bro type of fight between John Rocker and then also Patrick Mahomes Sr. By the way, if you're Patrick Mahomes, don't you got to just tell your family to shut the bleep up? It's crazy. His wife, actually, I don't find her to be obnoxious anymore. I haven't really heard a negative story of his wife in like the last 2 years or so. But the brother is a creep. We know that. And then the father, he's always drinking and driving, and then he's walking around Bourbon Street. Like, you are the father of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time who's in the prime of his career. You already acted like an idiot the last few years. Don't you just go to the Super Bowl and shut the bleep up? It's amazing. Like, Patrick Mahomes is so likable, but there's just certain members of his family that can drive you absolutely bonkers, where I don't hate Patrick Mahomes because of it, but I actually just feel bad for him. So now Barstool has capitalized off this. Some people thought the whole thing was staged. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But Dave Portnoy announced the other day that they're actually going to have John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr. get into a ring and do Rough and Rowdy, which Portnoy actually owns. So they're going to have a boxing match between those two, which is just crazy. So let's go around the room here. We'll start with Stu. Two former athletes that you would like to see fight one another if you could put them into a boxing ring and maybe have Portnoy sanctioned and do a little Rough and Rowdy.
So we kind of saw this a little bit in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they actually did fight once, but not in a ring or anything like that, nothing sanctioned. But Charles Barkley and Shaq, when I believe...
We also see it every night and inside the NBA,
that's
too.
That's what I was going to say. They do spar a lot with words every Tuesday night when they're doing their show. So I feel like there's a little... I don't know. Some of it is for show, but some of it, I do feel like they also have a little dislike for each other sometimes.
I think it's good nature fun.
Yeah.
I don't think
it
they
gets
have
very it. Personal sometimes, though.
It does, but I think they understand the shtick of it.
Yeah.
It would do mega ratings.
It would be amazing.
Who would win that fight? I think Shaq would.
I think Shaq would, too. I think Shaq's just bigger and stronger.
Yeah, Charles is obviously older.
Older, too. Yeah.
And I don't know how those hips, if it's just judging by the golf swing. I don't know how those hips would hold up in the fight. Did you see? I don't know when this happened. Shaq put his foot.
Oh, I did.
On
yes.
set.
Oh.
If I was Shaq, I would just take off my shoes and I would just hold up my foot next to Charles Barkley, and I think Charles Barkley would just projectile vomit. Those were the ugliest looking toes I've ever seen. Scary.
Yeah.
A lot of wear and tear, obviously, on that body just because of the size of Shaquille O'Neal and then the way that he moved up and down the basketball court.
Mangled and the toenails and all of it. It's just gross. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I thought you meant Nick Mangold there for a second. I'm like, why is he taking a straight here? I go, what does Stu know about Nick Mangold's feet? So you have Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Yes.
That would be good. I just don't know if there is a really actual contentious nature to that fight. I think it would be more of a friendly thing where both guys would kind of get it. But I understand where you're going. All right, Samter, what are you doing?
At first, I was thinking maybe a little Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding.
I'm sorry. You cannot mention Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan again. I feel like every time we do, we could be like, who would you want to see go play in a match on Mars? And you always mention this.
I mean, it's quite literally the most dramatic moment in sports history of my lifetime.
I know, but we got to move on from it now.
I don't think we'll ever move on from Nancy Kerrigan.
Tomorrow we're going to be like, who are the top five greatest NBA players of all time? And Santa's going to be like, Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding.
Hey. You know what? We're still talking about it 30 years later. The other one I think that could be interesting would be Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan. There seems some animosity now, especially with Marcus, Michael's son, dating Larsa Pippen.
But they still together? I don't think they're still together.
No. They broke up, but still, just that whole thing. And they've been trash-talking since The Last Dance and everything. It seems like that there's some real animosity. But the one I'm going to go with is there was more animosity when they were
by
playing.
By the way, I think Pippen would beat Jordan now.
Yeah, I think so. Jordan seems like he's slowed down a little bit. Pippen seems like he's a little bit more...
Well, Jordan's just like laid back, and he just likes to not have anyone ever see him and just go fishing. I think there is some serious animosity there with Scottie Pippen, where Scottie Pippen would love to knock out Michael Jordan.
These two guys seem friendly now, but this is the one I'll go with is A-Rod and Jeter. Love to see those two guys go at it.
It's a good one. And also, let's be real, they never really liked each other. Like, now, okay, on Fox, like, they're all buddy-buddy and all that.
They seem better. I don't know if it's better, but they seem better.
But even when they were together, because A-Rod is the better all-around player. Jeter is, right, the captain of the Yankees, won all those championships, right? That was his team. They were never that friendly during their playing days. There's no doubt about that. But A-Rod and Jeter would be fun, and I think A-Rod would, you know, it would kick his ass. I really do. I like Jeter, but I think A-Rod would beat him up. The question just is, you know, if A-Rod going to take steroids or not before they end up fighting. That's just the only question that I have. All righty. My fight that I would like to see, Roger Clemens and Mike Piazza. Roger Clemens is my least favorite athlete ever. With that being said, Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. But Roger Clemens was such a punk when it came to Mike Piazza. And he had to throw the ball at him. He threw the bat at him as well. And Piazza would always own him. It's one of my favorite childhood memories. It was the first game they played against one another since the whole World Series with the bat throwing incident. It was at Shea Stadium. I'll never forget this. The Mets spanked the Yankees. Spanked the Yankees. Sean Estes tried to throw at Roger Clemens, threw behind him. Then eventually in the game, Piazza took Clemens deep, and then Sean Estes took Clemens deep, and a young Zach Gelb was serenading Roger Clemens as he walked off the mound, and everyone was like in the stadium, Roger, Roger. And if memory, I think Timo Perez in that game actually stole home, and a fan ran on the field. At least that's the way that I remembered it when I was a youngster. But I hate Roger Clemens. And Mike Piazza always took the high road until like COVID when we had him on the show. And I told him how much I hated Roger Clemens. And then he sounded off a little bit on Roger. So I would like to see Mike Piazza and Roger Clemens fight. Alrighty, now off the Rogers trade. Also off the Deshaun Watson trade being a disaster. And also off the Russell Wilson trade to the Broncos being a disaster. Stu, what's your worst trade in sports history?
I think for me, it is basketball related. It's not Luka for AD yet. It's pretty bad. I think it's a Pau Gasol trade just because they did it. It's similar to this Mavericks trade where they did it and they probably could have gotten more if it wasn't Jerry West running the Grizzlies and maybe, you know, trying to give the Lakers a little bit of a present with Pau Gasol. I know they did get Marc Gasol in the trade, who wound up being an all-star, very good player, but they should not have gotten Pau Gasol. I'll admit that to this day.
This is such a Laker answer right there for Stuart Kovac. Samter, what's your worst trade?
I was deciding between Ricky Williams, 8 picks at the Saints, and Mike Ditka traded his first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh pick in the 99 draft.
Picks.
And the first and third pick in the 2000 draft. 8 picks to move up 9 spots to get Ricky Williams, who was a good running back in the NFL, but, you know, it was ridiculous. But for me, I think it's Herschel Walker, the trade from the Vikings and the Cowboys. It was 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks that turned into Emmitt Smith, Russell Maryland, and Darren Woodson that helped the Cowboys build that dynasty to win 3 Super Bowls.
I think the Red Sox could have 2 of the worst trades ever. They traded Babe Ruth, who is one of the greatest baseball players of all time, for cash because their owner needed money for No Nunette, a Broadway play, or a play, I should say. Then they also got rid of Mookie Betts, who has gone on to win some championships since he won a championship in Boston, 2 more. The Red Sox for Mookie Betts got Alex Verdugo, stinks, Jeter Downs, and Connor Wong. Like, think about that. And the Dodgers also got David Price, and they got some cash. Oh, jeez. Babe Ruth goes on to be like the greatest baseball player ever, and all you got was cash for him. And for Mookie Betts, you got basically Jack. I think the Red Sox, hey, they've recovered since, right? It went a long time, 86 years, no World Series, and then they started to win one in 04, and then they've won a bunch since. But geez Louise, you get rid of Babe Ruth, and you get rid of Mookie Betts, and you basically got nothing to show for it in return from both those trades. Was there a trade in particular, Act, that really annoyed you?
Back in the day, the Knicks trading their first-round pick for Gerald Henderson. That first-round pick became Scottie Pippen. There you go.
I always knew you would have a random one where he could just put you on the spot.
Yes.
Are there 2 people you like to see fight off this John Rocker, Pat Mahomes stuff? Patrick Mahomes Sr., typically.
Yes, yes. I'd have to say it would probably be an old Celtic and a Laker. I'd have to decide who. I don't, you know. How about Kurt Rambis and Kevin McHale?
Okay.
Yes. That's one of the great takedowns in sports history.
There we go. I knew you were going to give me something good.
It was a little different, yes.
Yeah. Oh, all righty. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a news brief next. Update time first. Here's Zach. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage, no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Let's get to a news brief.
Extra, extra, time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
You know what? Let's show some love to our guy, Ricky Ricardo. I haven't heard any of his calls yet from the Super Bowl. Ricky, a colleague of ours, he's the Spanish play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's hear his call on the Zach Bond interception.
Mahomes atrás, suelta el pase, intercepción, a ver, intercepción,
Zach Bond,
intercepción.
Qué bárbaro, Ricky.
Otra intercepción de Filadelfia en la zona roja. ¡Ay, papá!
Mahomes hoy no vino a jugar.
Zach Bond, la intercepción en la línea 14.
Con 1.45 por jugar.
En la línea 14, first down, Filadelfia. ¡Wow!
Oh, papá. That was my favorite part of that. Let's hear Ricky's call on the Cooper DeJean interception.
Mahomes atrás. Roll out a la derecha. Mahomes suelta el pase. Intercepción.
Se va, Ricky.
¿Quién la tiene? Este es DeJean.
Cooper DeJean.
A ver, entonces.
Touchdown.
Filadelfia se cae la casa. Cooper DeJean. Un pick six. Se ganó la lotería. Un pick six de Cooper DeJean.
El cumpleañero, Ricky. El cumpleañero, el novato. Wow. Se le jugaba el juego.
Cooper DeJean. Pick six. Se ganó la lotería. 16-0 Filadelfia. ¡Ay, papá, qué jugada!
Can the color guy shut up? Seriously, can the color analyst shut up? What is he, like Zolak? And then also, his microphone, he's screaming the whole time that he's ruining Ricky's call. It's peaking. I got to text Ricky. Who's the color analyst? Tell him to shut the bleep up. We want to just hear Ricky Ricardo and only Ricky Ricardo. Let's get one more from Ricky. Here was the Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith big touchdown pass.
Hurts. Atrás. Play action.
Wow.
Se va. Pase largo por el centro. Hombre abierto. Touchdown. Centro, post pattern, Mardi Gras temprano, Mardi Gras en Filadelfia.
A celebrar, aquí nos estamos dando high five con los fanáticos de los Eagles. Increíble el pase de Speedy, agresivo. Sirianni y Moore tiran el pase largo y está Ricky, yo creo que es la estocada.
Ese es
2 minutos y 40 segundos.
46.
Who's doing the play-by-play?
La estocada para Mahomes y compañía.
Man, that color analyst. He knows how to step on the toes of the play-by-play guy. I always find it that when they're like, un touchdown or just interception. Smitty.
Pick six.
Yeah. Pick six. Un pick six. That's what it was. Let's go to Kellen Moore and why he chose the Saints.
It became very clear what made this organization really special, and it was the leadership. Each interaction grew more and more confident in the opportunity that this presented. The opportunity to team up with Mickey Loomis, one of the winningest general managers in the National Football League history, was a perfect opportunity for myself. Can't wait to get started. Really, really excited about this opportunity. I'm so thankful for it.
It would have been funny if Kellen Moore just got up there after seeing the Liam Cohen press conference where you got Duval, and if Kellen Moore was just like, I can't wait for Mardi Gras.
Duval.
You have that. Oh, my God. Kellen Moore, by the way, that sounds like a professional coach. I don't know if he's going to be any good, but he sounds at least professional when he's talking. Let's hear Kellen Moore on Derek Carr.
Yeah, Derek's a tremendous quarterback in this league. I've had so much respect for him, the journey that he's been on. He's a starter in this league. He's a premier player in this league.
He's had a great journey.
Obviously, going from Fresno State to the Raiders and now here, you know, really excited to team up with him and go through this process.
Bleep. Let's hear Saquon Barkley. He was on the Howard Stern show. Howard Stern, by the way, once went after Ryan Hot Take Hickey. I'll never forget that. It was when WCBS, 880 WCBS, was going off the air. And then I guess they were listening on a stream, and the stream picked up the Infinity Sports Network afterwards. And Howard Stern said, because he heard Hickey's high-pitched voice, they go, they went from a professional radio station to a guy That sounds like he hasn't even gone through puberty. Oh, my God. I think when you get mentioned by Stern, though, that's good, even if it's a negative thing. Here's Saquon Barkley with Howard Stern and the fans booing Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl.
They showed her on the Jumbotron, and she got booed. I don't get it. I don't get why she was getting hate there.
I didn't like that either.
Yeah, she's just there supporting her significant other, and she's made the game bigger. You know, we're all about how can we expand the game and make it more internationally, and we're traveling to Brazil, and we're traveling to Mexico, and her being a part of it is only helping it. So I don't get the slack that she's getting.
Because it's Philadelphia, Saquon. I know you're new to Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley. But with that being said, the Eagles will boo anybody. That's like, if you don't get booed by Eagles fans and you're wearing the opposition colors, that's a problem. And I think it's a badge of honor, really, to get booed by the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Let's go to James Palmer, our pal. He was on with Kay Adams on Up and Adams on the future of Travis Kelce with the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs?
I contacted a couple people in the organization case Sunday morning, and I was just like, so I want to know about the speeches one. And they were like, well, Travis cried, but he cried last year. So I was trying to get a gauge on his speech to the team on Saturday night. And I was just like, what's your gut? And they were both like, gut tells me this is it. But he hasn't said anything in either direction to anybody here. And we know he loves coming to work. We know he actually really enjoys being here in the building. But he mentioned that one part where he's like, I don't want to half-ass it at all. He practices as hard as anybody. The people in the building believe he has lost a step. They still believe he can completely play. But there's so much on the other side as well.
And I saw that Nate Taylor, who covers the Chiefs, he said the Chiefs want to know by March 14th from Travis Kelce if he's going to stay or if he's going to go. And I'm still conflicted on that one. Because earlier in the week, prior to the Super Bowl, it was, oh, I want to play for at least three more years. And now he has no clue what's going to happen. The Kelces cry a lot, by the way. Jason Kelce, very emotional post-Super Bowl. Travis Kelce crying before the Super Bowl. And I love the Kelces, but a lot of crying going on there. A lot of manly crying going on there. Here is Kelly Stafford on the Morning After podcast on her husband's future with the Rams.
My husband, like, wants to win. He's not trying to put a team in a bad situation. If you're catching my drift, you're catching my drift. I will say that the trading away of Cooper, I guess I'm just a little, I'm confused because we were one play away from going to the NFC Championship. And I think if we go, we win. I have to be the dog in this situation being like, I want the respect for him that he deserves. Yes, I love the city of LA. I love the city of LA. With that being said, I love an adventure.
So don't get me wrong. She's right in everything she said. She comes off, though, very obnoxious. It's like you can't be saying those things, saying, oh, you love an adventure. I want my husband to get the respect that he deserves, and then never expect anyone to have any backlash. Like, remember she was attacking the Detroit fans for booing her? I don't like they're booing your children. I know your children were there, but you were walking on the field, right? Like, it was before a game that your husband was the enemy in. But I don't know. How did she play how she started that again?
My husband.
Yeah, just like, my husband.
My husband.
Oh, stop. Stop. Just terrible. And I'm not wrong. Like, it's weird that the Rams are thinking about moving on from it. It's weird they're moving on from Cooper Kupp. And, you know, you love an adventure. Where are you going to go? You know, someone would be interested in Matthew Stafford, but they should run this back with the Rams. He should want to go back with the Rams, and the Rams should want him back. But something's up there. I think it all comes down to contract negotiations. I really do believe that. Here is Joe Burrow, his options to restructure his deal potentially in order to keep T. Higgins. It's on Part of My Take with Barstool.
You could convert some of the money to a signing bonus, okay, which will lower the cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
You can push some of the money to the back end of the contract,
mm-hmm,
and then when you get to the, that lowers the cap hit, and then when you get to the back end of the contract, you can restructure it, convert it to a signing bonus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you can also just take less money.
And which one were you going to do?
We'll see.
You business don't take right any now less money, right? You just get...
You could.
Okay.
You could, but you're, most of the guys just convert it to...
To signing bonus.
Yeah.
Is that... You would do that?
I would do that.
Okay.
If I'm Joe Burrow, I'm looking at this, and I'm saying you got Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle together. You got A.J. Brown, and you got Devontae Smith together. Why can't we keep Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins together? Here's the truth, because I don't think the Bengals would do it. You can restructure all you want. you could go out of your way to do it. Like, Brady used to restructure all the time. They wouldn't always go get him the weapons that he would want. They haven't even paid Ja'Marr Chase yet. So T. Higgins could reset the market pretty much. The Patriots will probably give him a blank check. If he resets the market, then you're going to have to top that with Ja'Marr Chase. I just don't think the Bengals are going to do that. Another organization, yes, but the Bengals still have that stigma of being cheap, and this is where one of the things it is going to pop up. Let's go to CeeDee Lamb. Huh. He was on. He was with Katie Feeney via Instagram. Who has the more passionate fan base, Cowboys or Eagles?
Who has a more passionate fan base, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
Eagles.
Eagles?
They're crazy. Our Cowboys, our fans are deep, but they not. I don't want to say nothing crazy, but the Eagles got it.
Well, you just did, because you didn't say your own fan base, and he's not wrong in what he's saying. The Eagles fans are as passionate as they come. And CeeDee Lamb, like, dude, you're a veteran. What are you doing? You're not some rookie. You're not some guy that just right out of college. Like, you got to say the Cowboys there. You play for the Dallas Cowboys. It seems as if there's a lot of Cowboys players that are interested in playing for the Eagles. CeeDee Lamb, oh, I like the Eagles fans better. You know, they're more passionate. Micah Parsons always praising Howie Roseman and how the Eagles are run as an organization. If I'm a Cowboys fan, they make you want to pull out your hair already. But, man, you can't even get your own guys to say, oh, yeah, the Eagles aren't as passionate as the Cowboys fans, even though he'd be lying, but you got to lie in that spot. All righty, we'll take a break. One more hour to play here on this Thursday. When we come on back, quarterbacks are going to dominate the offseason discussion. Brian McFadden's going to join us 25 minutes from now, and I'll give you one more thought on the Super Bowl coming up at 5:40. Five people from the Chiefs that I'm most disappointed in after Super Bowl 59.